Hi guys, this is Nadia Hilger. I'm playing Magna on The Walking Dead, and you guys are listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Golden Spiral. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast, and I'm sending you all my love. Bye!
The Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 98, The Storm Review.
Welcome to The Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to The Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of The Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278. Or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to another fine episode of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
Hey, Alex. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm so happy to be able to talk about this final episode and put a little bookend to this wonderful season that we have.
I'll have to say. Listeners wouldn't know who you are, Alex, so why don't you just like tell people about yourself?
Well, thank you. I have been Walking Dead fan since the beginning, and just love the show. Don't like all the creepy stuff, but you know, I love most of the creepy stuff, and love talking about the show. Talk to a couple of people in some of the Facebook chats, and you guys were nice enough to have me come in and join your party. So I'm getting to crash the party a little.
Cool.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. So we actually didn't get any feedback that for the last episode. So we're going to get right into the season finale, which is season 9, episode 16, titled The Storm, written by showrunner Angela Kang and co-executive producer Matthew Negrete, which rhymes with spaghetti, and directed by Greg Nicotero. So let's get right into it. Mark, what would you give The Storm?
I give it 7.5 out of 10 zombies suck in the ice that look like puppet chomping at the air. they just keep that puppet was just chomping.
All right. I'm going to go to you, Alex. What did you think of The Storm?
I thought a little bit better. I gave it 9 out of 10 abominable ice frozen walkers. We finally got Snowmageddon. We've been waiting for it for how many years? We finally got it. And there was no bread or milk that was really needed, but we got our Snowmageddon.
Indeed. Well, I am glad that I watched this episode more than once, and I gave it a couple of days before I watched it the second time. Because after watching it the first time, let's just say that this podcast would not have been happy. I would have been just a raving lunatic saying nasty things that I don't like to say. So I was able to watch it again with a fresh, you know, kind of looking at it a little more objectively and knowing what was in the episode, I could like see it for what it is. So although I still can't give this one a high rating, it's higher than it would have been if we had rated it on Sunday night, which it would have been a 5. So I'm going to give this 7. You should have filmed this finale where there's actual snow. And we will get into that later. So, all right. So we have some listener ratings. Mark, why don't you start?
Mark Olivier says, I give this episode 5 out of 10 Bye-bye, you've lost me. Let me clarify. I'm a fan of the podcast. Winky face. Expressive smiley face. 10 out of 10 expressive sound effects. Wah face. And a smiley face.
I have to say. Well, thanks, Mark Olivia. You're still a fan, so that at least you're a fan of us, even if you're not a fan of the show anymore. All right. Well, Steve, our friend Steve, who was on last week, has been on actually quite a few weeks this half season. He gives us 9 out of 10. Lots of questions.
Dieta rates the episode 8 out of 10 popsicle walkers in the blizzard, freezing smiley face, and then what is that? A snowman and a snowflake.
And Glynis gives it 7 out of 10 whiteouts.
All right. So let's move on. Oh, before I do that, I'll just say, listeners, you may notice, if you've given your feedback, you may not hear everything you said. Maybe there'll be a reason for that. You'll see coming soon. So let's move on to our awesome sauce.
Awesome sauce.
All right.
Well, Barbie Patterson says, Negan's path to redemption. I'm warming up to it. And his talk with Michonne, where he says no one believes they're the bad guy. Close second, Lydia, profound guilt over Henry and Carol bringing her back into the group. When Carol said to her, you're not weak, I just thought of her in seasons 1 and 2 and the kids she's mourned over the years. You could read all of those feelings on her face.
All right, Deanna has an awesome sauce. She says, Daryl's Walker icicle in the eye kill. Yeah, I think that was pretty good.
Glennis said, Negan's wisecracking again.
All right. Now it's time for our own awesome sauce. Mark, what do you have?
Well, that would be seeing Negan talk to Michonne at the end, showing that he cared for the people in his own little way. A man redeemed, trying to fit in with, when people don't want him there. And of course, helping Judith and Dog in the snowstorm. That was amazing.
Yep. All right, Alex, what do you have?
Negan's redemption tour is out there, and he really, I think, hit it out of the park with his one-liners. When he finally gets released with the quadrangle, he had to just comment that it was like Christmas for him because he hasn't really done much. And then the best part of the whole thing, they're talking, and all of a sudden he says something. Judith yells at him.
Yeah.
About cursing. And then it goes back the other way as well. So, I mean, it was really a great awesome sauce. And the last thing with that was, I think the line of the whole season was when he was talking to our favorite Padre, and he's, very good point, Father, not Father. So that was part of my awesome sauce.
Yeah, when it comes to 2-month-old whatever, you are not the father.
Another Maury Povich episode.
I was actually looking for a Maury Povich sound effect. I used to have one.
That's too bad.
I couldn't find it, though. Yeah. All right. Well, I have to kind of second and third this. So I would say that Negan and Judith, those scenes, I think, were the best of the episode. I also liked Michonne. I think it was Michonne that, like, basically carved up that one walker it basically shattered. I thought that was pretty awesome, although maybe not realistic.
Yeah.
But, you know, zombies, they're not realistic either. So I think this episode had a lot of heart, and I think was good in the character sides of it, and that in general was really good. There's something I see, Alex, you didn't mention there in small print.
Oh yeah, when they finally get to the hilltop, Jerry wants to rename King Top. It King Top, and he wants to make that a thing.
So that might be the new thing. Gave this rating 7 King Tops. So, so yeah, I wanted to make sure we mentioned that. Of course, you know, Jerry's always great on this show.
He is the best.
All right. Well, now we go into the weak sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
Dieta says, another time jump showing the kingdom all burnt up. How? Why? What happened?
Indeed. Barbie is next. She says, Carol nearly giving Ezekiel back his ring. Needing space is one thing, but that suggested something more permanent. I just felt really bad for Ezekiel. Yeah, I did too. I had a reaction to that. So, all right, next.
Glennis says, there was too little happening for a season 9 finale, though it was still enjoyable with many contradictions being on the interaction between the various characters this time with Carol, Ezekiel, and Daryl, Carol, Lydia, Negan, Gabriel, Rosita, Sadiq, and Eugene, Negan, Michonne, Negan, Judith, and Alpha, Beta, setting up events in season 10 nicely.
Yeah, and I wanted to give my weak sauce next because it fits right in with this. I thought it was a decent episode, but I think as a season finale, it was poor. You know, we have a certain pattern that we are used to within this show, and that is that the big finale is the season finale. It's not the Game of Thrones pattern, where Game of Thrones typically has its big episode in the penultimate episode, like their episode 9, because they have 10 episodes a season. So that's what I was expecting. I was expecting a big, you know, confrontation with the Whispers, and instead they're nowhere around. And we'll get to that in a little bit. Well, actually, it's my next point. So, like I say, I heard some people defending this episode saying, well, you know, Game of Thrones has been doing this forever. Well, yeah, but that's Game of Thrones.
Exactly.
What we expected was a big season finale, and I kept on, you know, waiting for the shoe to drop, and instead the shoe, you know, fell off and got frozen. So like for me, it just, I didn't think that it was a big enough episode. It was like I said, more of a character study. It just wasn't, there was no big confrontation. It was just something we'll talk about in a second. But other than that, you know, it just didn't work for me at all. So my next thing is, so they just migrated like birds. So that's what happened. So the Whispers were nowhere to be found in this, except for like one scene at the end. And they're not even there. They went south for the winter. That means that when they come back, there's going to be like little to no evidence. By the time they'll find something that got left behind, and they'll go, oh, you guys were here. And it's like, who cares? You know, so they're not there. So they are not going to see snow footprints saying that they crossed their territory. Nothing like that. Nothing. But then I got to ask, okay, so the Whispers migrated south. So why don't they stay there? Why are they coming back north to have a big conflict? Why have a conflict at all? That makes no sense.
Well, they're trying to claim that territory, I guess. They want to be,
what are they, the claimers?
Yeah, well, pretty much. If you think about it, you know.
It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I got to tell you, though, I think what's kind of an interesting thing about this is the fact that they use fear to control the whole situation. What was the group thinking about the whole entire time?
Yeah.
The territory. And then, you know, I think it was actually a brilliant move by them. When you look at it in this sense, one, they don't have to do anything, and they got all these territories trying to figure out
Yeah.
You're working around them, except for Carol, because she's going back to her old ways, which is great, which we're going to talk about. But I think that, you know, when you look at it that way, it's actually a brilliant move on their part. Now, I don't know why they would want to go back and forth, but that's a whole nother. And they want to go to Disney. They have a fast pass. I have no idea. You know, they got this. They got the free dining during the winter. But other than that,
does that mean that they saw, like, you know, Alpha, you just want a big conflict with the, you know, with the Hilltop, the Alexandria, and the Kingdom. What are you gonna do now?
I'm going to Disney. Exactly. And but, you know, I think it's in that one scene, she did a lot.
Yeah.
Which we're going to talk about. I mean, it wasn't a very important, it wasn't a very big scene, but it was a very telling scene.
She's getting whipped into shape, which I don't understand. All right. Alex, you have some weak sauce?
This season, and it was more towards the second half, AMC did this thing that really bothers me as a viewer. They put like a 2 or 3, I want to say maybe 20-second clip, and it's a commercial.
Yeah.
And you think you're trying to DVR, and you have it on DVR, and you're trying to go fast forward, and then you're not sure. And I know it doesn't seem like it's a big deal, but it's like Negan was helping Judith with the dog, and I thought it was back. And then it wasn't. It was a commercial. And they've been doing this a lot lately. And it's just one of those things that it's not it's not a huge thing. It's just, you just want to get to the darn, get to the meat of the show. One of my other weak sauces was, what happened to Magna? Did she not know how to fight anymore? It seems like, why was she in that episode? It's they rushed the sanctuary. She's got a flashlight. Like, she's supposed to be this killer, and what's she going to do? You know, light him to death? I you know, for someone that has secret knives in her jacket, now all of a sudden she's reduced to a nightstick. I mean, a flashlight. It's just, it was a little weak. Yeah. I think
underused or underutilized. Great character, but
yeah. All right. We interrupt this podcast for a special weather alert.
Snowmageddon.
All right. So we thought it was appropriate to bundle up all the snow feedback and our thoughts about the snow into one big snow alert. So that's what we're going to do. So we're going to start it off with Glynis. She said, in her awesome sauce, the snow and the frozen walkers and the walkers materializing out of the snow were very well done. All right. Mark, you have one of your awesome sauce and one of your weak sauces.
Yeah, they're both combined pretty much. Well, basically seeing Lydia with the zombie stuck in the ice, that was a good scene. Definitely a practical effect that I enjoyed from K&B on this one. It was a little mechanical in its movement, but that's what I loved about it. There wasn't much meat on it to begin with. Also, the other practical zombies we saw that were iced as well. Sorry, I love practical effects.
Yeah.
I'm an effects kind of guy, and I love the practical effects more than anything when I watch the show.
Yeah.
I kind of did that when I was a kid, and I had to learn that stuff myself. Not the mechanical end, but I actually did the prosthetics. I love that stuff, and to see that finally come into the show with snow and everything else, it made it work.
Yeah, that one walker that we saw, that it was definitely a practical effect. That was really, really skinny. I think it was only like a torso and head. Yep. Yeah, that was really well done.
Absolutely,
and you could see that it was a practical effect, like it was an animatronic dummy. It wasn't something that was, you know, computer generated, and anyway, I thought it was really cool looking, I love to see that kind of stuff.
Did you guys notice that one zombie, that one walker that you were referring to with Lydia, he kind of looked like Beta to me?
I watched it the second time too.
It looked like he had the mask on. And I'm like,
yeah,
I know it wasn't obviously because of what was going to happen, but I'm like, damn, that looks just like him.
Yeah, I gotta say, I had the same reaction when I first saw that Walker. It looked like beta, and I had to do a triple take. It wasn't even a double take. I did a triple take. Like, that looks like him. Is that him?
It couldn't be.
It can't be him.
Too small.
Is it him? Yeah, yes. And that's kind of what I finally decided. It's like, nah, that's not him. But it looks like him. But I really like that one, too. I thought that was really good.
The weaker portion of this would be...
Yes.
The snow wasn't real in a lot of places. Wind blowing when Negan was trying to get to Judith looked like paper to me.
Yep.
More than snow. This was obviously a soundstage.
Yep.
I know the show is on a budget, but come on. The only good part to me was the powdery looking stuff when the Zeds came out of the snow, but that was about it.
Yeah.
And that was awesome when they came out of the snow.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my biggest criticism with this episode, other than the fact that it was it didn't feel like a season finale to me. There wasn't enough snow, and I would say I kind of take exception to what you said, Mark. None of it was real snow. None of it. There was no snow used in this snowstorm. And like one of the scenes that I really had a problem with, and I think I don't know if you saw it, Alex, but I know I sent a capture of it to Mark. The scene at the end where the snowball fight, and we see RJ in the snow.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that did not look real in any way, any stretch of the imagination. It looked like mothballs or like cotton or something like that, but it did not look like snow at all. And it, you know, we got on a group that we belong to. We've talked about it, the Zed Heads. We got into it a little bit about that with some people. And I'm sorry, but, you know, when it comes to snow, like I live, you know, I'm a Canadian originally, you know, I still am, you know, and I've spent almost all my life in climates where we got a lot of snow. Snow is something that is deeply entrenched in me. I've almost died in snowstorms more than once. So I have kind of like an issue with snow just in general. That's probably why I took the chance and I moved to Tampa, Florida. I know what snow looks like. This did not look like snow. There, and I mentioned, this is supposed to be a blizzard. I saw maybe an inch of snow on the ground in most places. You expect them to take steps and them, you know, to fall like 6 inches, 8 inches a foot, you know, into snow, dragging their feet around and all that stuff. None of that happened. It was all stuff to the surface. And that's why I say it didn't look like snow. A lot of it looked effective. But the other thing, and Mark, I know you noticed this too, but the leaves were still on all the trees and bushes.
Yes.
And I'm sorry. What they should have done is they should have done a location shot in Toronto or somewhere else in Canada or even, you know, somewhere in New York or anywhere where there's a lot of snow. And they should have done it there when it was cold enough. And, you know, they could use real snow. They could have used, you know, like the snow machines, all that stuff. It would have been very easy to do, and yet they didn't do that. And I know that they're in Atlanta. Okay, I get that. But to me, I mean, how much do they spend on trying to replicate snow when they could have basically just, you know, taken that one episode, done it up in Toronto or whatever, and actually had the real stuff. And I would not be having the problems that I had with this episode if they had done that. So and yeah, they could have had a couple of scenes where it was, you know, on a soundstage or something. But the fact that they did all of it that way, it just did not work for me. And every time I looked at the snow, I just was like, no. It's snowing that hard and they're still not sinking in the snow. That isn't snow. And I'm sorry, but it took me out of the entire episode. And I got out of this episode at the end where I was fuming mad, because here I have been waiting 9 years for snow on this series. And, you know, I realize, I understand that they gave it a good try, but it was like they had done this, like they had designed a snowstorm with people from California that have never been in a snowstorm. I'm sorry, but this is not what.
Yeah. How much is water?
Yeah.
Water, I don't think is that much. And last time I checked, they have ski resorts in Atlanta. They could.
Yeah.
You know, to your point, it was such a good season and Angela has done such a good job, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. And then you get to the finish line and it's just not up to par.
Yeah.
And them holding a rope going from one part of the one house to another, which was dramatic, don't get me wrong, but that was kind of strange as well in terms of the whole.
Yeah, that was taken out of a John Carpenter film, the thing. And not to get on my soapbox about it, but honestly, if they were smart and they wanted to do it in real snow, they could have delayed filming all the way into December and did it upstate New York, just, you know, in Rhinebeck, New York, and take JDM's farm and just have all the real snow and
there
just
you go.
Do it there.
Yeah.
And that way, you know, he's home. Norman's not too far, and all they have to do is fly them in, and they could do a week shoot of just snow alone.
But more importantly, guys, how is it in the apocalypse, a teenager still won't zip up her damn jacket when it's snowing out? That's the more important question. Like, give me a break. You want to commit suicide, but you don't zip up. It's freezing out. I mean, ugh. But I have a 4-year-old, so I deal with this on a daily basis. So.
Oh, you're right, though. I mean, that's the we saw the same thing.
And, hats and gloves.
You know,
yeah.
It's supposed to be so cold, and yet they can't zip up properly. It just.
Yeah, but she wanted to die.
I know. Well.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
She didn't zip up purposely for that.
Yeah.
She stuck out her tongue to the metal pole to see if it stuck or not. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mark Olivier, he actually mentioned it in his, it was kind of tied to his rating, but we kind of left it out because he said, what? That's it? That's the season finale? All the money on the snow and nothing on the story. I can't disagree with that because that's what it seemed like. This whole thing was a gimmick on them doing the snow. And in the end, that's all it was. And it's like I say, like, very disappointed by this season finale. I mean, like I said, if we had done this podcast right after it aired, I would have not given this show a 7. It would have been a 5, which would have made this the lowest I've ever rated. I might have rated one a 4. I might have rated Service a 4. I'm not positive of that, but
the question I have for you guys, taking the season finale out of it, the episode itself, if it was placed in a different part of the season, would you have made it a better rating on its own merit?
It would have been meh to me, honestly. It had good story, but the way it was filmed and a lot of things out of context as far as like certain scenes, it still to me was just like not really grasping me. The story was okay and what they were trying to convey, but the thing was is what they physically put forth as far as the visual did not really speak words to me.
I would agree.
I think the biggest problem about the whole entire episode was it went up against the most iconic scene in The Walking Dead, which is the Pikes.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you follow that up? It's like, you know, it's a shame because it's two things that everybody wanted. And, you know, I know 50% gets you into the Hall of Fame, but this is not, I enjoyed the episode for what it was, but at the same time, I see the flaws and it's just disheartening. That's all.
Yeah. They were trying to follow a format of another show, I think. And they decided, well, we did this before. We're going to change it now. When they change things right away, they start to see it. And I think a lot of people have already spoken up about it too.
Yeah.
You're just missing Gimple to do a season finale. That's all.
Oh, no. I don't want Gimple. No. Hey,
listen.
No.
He would have been invisible Snow.
His die comic's not really doing well either, so.
Yeah, I just thought that it was, I could say it was a good try, but I think that would be a lie. I think that, unfortunately, this is one of those things where, I don't know if you guys, there was a thing going on maybe a year or two ago where there was like fake news stories that you would get on Facebook and would say that, you know, Walking Dead, this coming season is going to be shooting in your town or a town close by to you. I got a couple of these when I was living in Cleveland area and, you know, it was bull, but I think those fake stories that were going around probably would have actually been a good idea if they had shot it in, you know, like since I mentioned Cleveland, you know, if they had like gotten a good lake effect snow and or a nor'easter and shot that or, you know, gone up north, you know, in Northern Ontario or Upper Peninsula, Michigan or something, or Minnesota, where it gets a ton of snow and just shoot that. And I think that it would have worked so much better.
Well, they could have bought the Santa Claus is Coming to Town footage with the big snowstorm. That could have worked as well. I'm just saying for a friend.
Rudolph.
Exactly. Eat, Papa, eat.
Yeah. All right, so that's I think that mostly exhausts our snow coverage, but we wanted to, you know, give it its worth. So with that, of course, we're going to end this with. All right, that's it for the snow report. So back to our regular programming, and it is time for our what sauce. All right. So we got one piece of what sauce, and since it's just the one thing, I'm going to read it. It's from Glynis. She says, Ezekiel telling Daryl to leave. Sorry, Ezekiel. Daryl and Carol's bond goes deeper than that, and it didn't work out for Ezekiel anyway, as Carol made her own decision to leave Ezekiel for Alexandria. Yeah, I think that... Now, I wonder, like, did she, okay, so Ezekiel asking Daryl to leave, did he ask Daryl to leave because Lydia was with him?
No.
No. I think Ezekiel feels threatened because Carol is very close to Daryl, and he doesn't understand why, and he just wants to work things out with not having Daryl being the person she goes to talk to.
Oh, that makes sense.
Angela Kang actually kind of shed some light on it. After a child dies, a lot of times parents split up.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, Mark, there's a lot going on with Carol. She points out the fact that she's losing herself and they're trying to work it out. And I saw it as a man that's just trying to, because he even lost his accent when he was talking to Daryl.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
I just want to get my wife back. I'm trying to work this out.
Yeah.
And if you notice, Daryl never answered him, which finds it telling for the fact that Daryl's trying to make it work too.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all on the same page. They just don't care. They just don't want to live in the same house kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very hard too, because if you recall, Daryl was the one that was there for Carol for when Sophia was gone.
Absolutely.
And she has some sort of bond with him. And that's something that Ezekiel doesn't understand.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I tend to think I agree with all that. But I also see that the whole Lydia thing must play into it as well, because there's that question where Carol said to Daryl about, like, every time I see her, I see Henry. And then Daryl asks her, what do you see when you see me? You know, so, and I'm sure Daryl probably blames himself at least partially, but I don't think he should. I don't think it was his fault that she took him. I think, or, you know, Alpha took Henry because Henry and Lydia were a thing. You know, I think that's, she wanted to hurt Lydia, I think.
Yeah. And the rest of the group too. Yeah. So, because they cared for Henry. So it's kind of like, all these different thoughts and ideas in this whole little world right there, right in front of us.
You know, when we get to Sad Sauce, there's stuff about Carol that there's a lot more going on.
Yeah.
The fact is, where did Carol come from? Meaning to the kingdom. She lived where? Outside of the kingdom for how many months, years? She finally comes into the kingdom. She has a relationship with the king. 6 years later, they're calling her queen.
Right.
She's into it.
Right.
And I think that at the core of Carol is this independent woman that doesn't want to go back to what she was.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a security issue. And now her security is threatened. So what does she do? She reverts back to the way she's going to be. And that's going to be a huge theme coming up.
I think. And she seems to be so reluctant to take on that role, but it's, you know, I wish that she would come to terms with it, because it's such a good role for her.
We all want her to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I want her to, you know, get that rage and go after Alpha. I want, when Alpha dies, and she better die, I want it to come at Carol's hands.
Yeah.
I think it started, though, going back to what you said, Mark, was when she was the suicide part with Lydia. And what did Lydia say? I'm weak. My mom says I'm weak. And if you looked at that, because when I watched it again, you look at Carol, it's like something clicked. No, you're not weak. And it was like she was talking to herself.
Yeah.
Herself in a mirror.
And then all of a sudden, that right after that, I believe she says, we didn't agree to these borders. Those are her borders.
Yeah.
That's the old Carol.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess we can get into it right now if you don't mind.
Nope.
You know, the transformation of Carol. When you remember Carol, how did she start out? A timid, long-haired wife.
Well, she was short-haired, but yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought she had...
She was short-haired, but... She, you know, according to people of victim studies, is that women who cut their hair is related to abuse because the men pull their hair.
And then, you know, now she has long hair because, and she even said, the fairy tale, this is, I'll never forget the fairy tale.
Yeah.
You know, what I'm ready for is her to do like a G.I. Jane. I don't know if you ever saw that movie where she's just going to just shave it all off completely. and go after Alpha. But,
I really want to see that, but I think we're going to get a very – think of when Terminus happened and how she infiltrated Terminus.
Absolutely.
I think we're going to get that, and it's going to be next season, and it's not a spoiler, but you do realize that this is leading to a war. Oh, yeah. So eventually we will see something like that. Who goes in, we do not know, but I'm hoping and rooting for
Carol. The other thing worth saying there, that I don't think that Alpha knows what Carol looks like. I think that she knows what Ezekiel looks like. So for them to stay apart could actually work in her favor, because, you know, she does get the rage going on for Alpha and decides to infiltrate the Whisperers, then it's going to be because she doesn't know what Alpha doesn't know what Carol looks like. She'll be able to go in there, infiltrate them, you know, seem like, you know, she could put on the persona like she does and go in there. And, you know, when Alpha least expects it, she gets her.
The question is, will she bake her cookies?
Or bring her flowers not to look at?
Pretty much. Yeah, you're right. I think I it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And it's going to also be interesting how loyal the Whisperers are to each other. Once that war starts, it's going to be very interesting to see if there it's going to be some dissension in the ranks.
Yeah, maybe. All right. So our what sauce, Mark, what do you have?
What is with the Whisperers at the end? What is this before the snow? I find it hard to believe that the Whisperers were in a world where the snow doesn't affect their life. This scene was clearly way out of place. Bad editing? Something that should have been edited for the beginning and then have a snowy look at Alpha and Beta on their plans, but that's my opinion. It should have been done, okay, in the beginning of the episode or midway, as a flashback saying 2 days before or a week before, and then cut to them in the snow, huddling together, trying to be warm, you know, but we don't get that. And it's just so weird.
That's because that's not how it happened, though. The point that I was making, and Angela Kang said the very thing on Talking Dead, they went south, you know, they went south, they migrated. Like animals do, like birds do. And that's what happened. And, you know, I think Alex, you had said that what they did was actually very effective because they basically, you know, scared the bejesus out of, you know, the communities to cross the border. And they, you know, they finally crossed the border in the middle of a big snowstorm, and they were so scared to do so, you know, and worry about retaliation. But in the end, the Whisperers, you know, the fact that they wouldn't have been able to survive out there like this. So they did what animals do, what birds do. They fly south for the winter. So they took the herd south, and they, you know, they're in South Carolina or Florida or Georgia.
Jeez, south of the border. They get around fast.
But you know that, but that's why I said earlier, like, if they did that, why have to go back? What, you know, why would they want to go back north and have a, you know, have this war with the everybody? It just seems stupid. It seems like if they're going to head south and just, you know, stay without any contention, you know. It just seems crazy to do.
One word comes to my mind.
Well, one thing comes to my mind, and that's
yeah, crazy.
That's exactly. One of the words. Well, one
she's
of the other
not
things.
Nuts. She crazy.
She no nuts. She crazy. Yep.
The thing that I think everybody doesn't want to. Along the crazy line is she's breaking her own rules.
Yeah.
Lydia has gotten her so crazy, like a parent with a teenager, that she is going against everything that she normally does. And I think because of that, maybe she wouldn't go back, but she just wants to cause more terror and get her daughter back to the point that she wants to beg to be come back so that she can torture her some more.
Yeah.
To that point with that scene, the one thing that I did notice that was kind of a wet sauce was they used a switch on her arm.
I noticed that too.
Yeah.
If you look at the scene with Lydia when she's trying to commit suicide, that was a real, I don't know why I picked up all this. If you look at her arm, it looks like she has those switch marks on her arm as well. So what does that mean? that means that she wants to either inflict or get pain to feel good. And that's a whole separate crazy that we are just not dealing with. And I think that's one of the biggest problems with this group that our group doesn't understand.
Yeah.
At least
you got
love him or hate him. At least you knew what kind of a jerk he was.
Yeah.
This is so unpredictable that you don't know where they're going to come from.
And Negan had a great line that we didn't talk about earlier. Yes. And that was that the villains don't know that they're, I can't remember exactly how he said it, but it was basically, they don't know that they're bad. Like nobody thinks that they're the villain essentially. And Alpha doesn't see her thing as the villain. She doesn't see her thing as the bad guy here, but I think she crazy.
Oh yeah, she crazy, yo.
No, she's a sandwich short of a sandwich.
I mean, good one.
I'm sorry. It's just. I love the fact that they gave us a backstory.
Yeah,
and the fact that they showed even more how crazy she. I know that's not the right way of saying it, but she is nothing. She's nothing like any of the problems that they've had or enemies that they've had since or after. There's nothing like this. And that's what I love about it.
Yeah.
That's what I love about it.
Yeah.
The governor was one thing. We knew who he was and how he was. Negan, we saw he was trying to be a dictator. And then this is like right out of left field. So
yeah, what I wondered is like, you know, what's she getting out of this? Like, why is she having Beta hit her? Like, what?
Because she is the type of person that she was either in an abusive relationship, or she talked about when Lydia almost died because she choked herself.
Yeah.
She gets off on self-mutilation. And I think what I forget the line it's in some war movie. You don't know you're dead unless you're dead when you don't feel pain.
Right.
Well, she's all about the pain. She just wants it, and she wants to either inflict it or be inflicted.
Yeah. I think those are great observations actually, Alex. That's the thing. I think she wants to go back and get Lydia and just inflict pain on Lydia, bring her back. And whether she's a part of them or not, she's going to make her be a part of them. You know, she'll go and kill, you know, all of the communities and just take Lydia back and then let her have an existence of torture and probably being, you know, I know this is in the comic book, and spoiler, Mark, I know you know this, but I've read about this, of course. There's one aspect of the Whisperers that hasn't been shown on the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's probably what she would have in store for Lydia if Lydia came back. And that, just not to get too descriptive, but let's just say that she would make Lydia, and I use that word specifically, make Lydia have the sexy time.
Oh, yeah. Not that she hasn't before, though.
Right.
Which we don't know.
We don't know.
Which is really scary and really sad.
Yeah.
Wow. And talking about all this just makes me think about, we were talking about how they crossed that border and what's to come in the next season. Now, did our group call their bluff and just move on? And will the Whisperers know? And this is how everything plays out. But how would they know unless they actually go to those particular areas like the kingdom?
Right.
You know, and find out, oh, it's abandoned. How the hell did it get out? They're going to go there and be like, they're gone. How did they leave? And where did they go?
And you that know what, may though? Happen. Yeah. But the question is that it seems like there were ways for them to go to the hilltop that didn't involve crossing into their territory. So, you know, that would be my one thing with that is that, you know, yes, they could, in fact, go there and they could suspect, but unless they determined that they crossed, I mean, the fact that they switched, you know, they closed down one of the communities and moved them elsewhere. I mean, to me, that's not against the going against the border. They would have to show some kind of evidence that they crossed into the territory.
The shattered walkers.
Maybe.
Remember? No, but you know, one of the things that it's kind of a what sauce is, why aren't they figuring this all out with Lydia? It's not the first winter they've been there.
Yeah.
Meaning, yes, it might be the first snow in Atlanta, or I mean in DC, but ask her, what do you guys do in the winter? Oh, we move. Oh, well, duh. That's the one thing that was kind of, it could have been answered. And I know if it was answered, there wouldn't have been an episode, but you got to ask the girl. And yeah. I mean, the only person that could ask her is Daryl, and he's a tracker. So he's the one that's going to ask her. And he finally found his voice this season. So, I mean, the second half of the season. So we could have asked her.
Are we thinking way too much into this?
No, we're not, because that's what we do, man. This is what we're supposed to do.
I'm sorry.
I'm agreeing with you 100%. You are hitting the points here that we need to hit. They should have gone to, I mean, they have a valuable resource in whatever they need to know about the Whisperers, and that's Lydia. Like, if Lydia's going to earn her keep, she's going to be able to earn her keep by advising them what Alpha would do and what they did. Like, she could have answered the question, but she didn't. She literally thought that Alpha was out there because she even said that. So maybe we just answered the question, but I mean, was this the first time that they went south? Was it just a coincidence that this happened, or was it, you know, is this a normal thing?
Or did they huddle up and get naked and use human warmth to keep each other warm during the winter?
That
in a mud hut,
yeah.
Or something.
Who knows? They used their lightsaber and cut the whatchamacallit in half and all.
The tauntaun, yeah. And they smell better on the outside than they do on the inside.
Exactly. Well, no, it's just very strange how, as smart as our group is, and we all love our group, and they do some of the smartest things in the world, yet they are blind to some of the obvious. And again, they have to be because of the show, but...
Well, they don't have to be. They just are because of the show. You know, they do things for the plot. And, you know, this is an example. I hate to say it, but, you know, it is stupid actions by smart people just to advance the plot. Is the reason why they didn't ask Lydia to do these, to tell them this, is because plot. Because if they did, then we wouldn't have a story. And
well, it's the same way Henry. The kid's been fighting with a staff since he's like, you know, 2 years old.
Right.
And all of a sudden, he goes up against, now take Alpha, I mean, take Beta out of it. You're trying to tell me he couldn't do some destruction in their encounter.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. The kid's a killer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Gavin would agree. He
killed that one. Right. Yeah, one savior.
I'm just saying. And then all of a sudden, one bell goes off and he runs like he's never been in the apocalypse before.
Yeah.
Again, I know it's for plot, but, you know, it's just a shame that they have tools and they don't always use them when they should.
Yeah.
Or at the right time. But,
yeah.
Again, you take it all with a grain of salt, like you said.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on, because we've got actually a couple other what sauces that we didn't talk about here. You had one more, Mark.
Yeah. What was with that voice on the radio? More to come on my feedback, but still a what to me.
Yeah. Yeah, there's more about this on the feedback, and I have some stuff to say about that too. My question that I had, and this, I put this in after the first watch, and I'm going to kind of answer it. How much time has passed since the last episode? And I think the answer is months, because the one thing I noticed on the second watch I didn't really notice on the first watch is that we see Rosita with a bun in the oven. Like, you know, she's clearly like in her second trimester, I think, at this point. So, and, you know, we had commented about how flat her stomach was initially. You know, she's trying to put on her pants and it's like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't look like she had gained any weight, and that wasn't believable. But then, you know, we see her here and she's definitely got like, you know, probably, I don't know, I guess like 5 months pregnant or something.
I would say 3.5-4 months.
Enough, but clearly enough to be showing. So several months have passed. And if the fare had been, you know, like a fare typically is in like, if it's, you know, like today,
October,
anywhere from July to October, you know. So this is, and they said that usually the storms don't come this soon. So let's say that the fair was in August and this was November, and, you know,
true.
It was probably something like that, because November would have been early enough for them to have a storm like this, but still way earlier than normal in DC, I think. So I think something like that, like, I could see the fair being in, say, early August and this be in September. That would be like, what, 4 months, 3 months? 3 months.
Yeah, about 3 to 4 months, yeah. I would say, depending on the week. And if they got it in early November, I would say that is a bit more accurate.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have Dale's watch, so, you know, they can't really tell.
You know, that's an interesting thing you just said there. Imagine Dale in this world right now with the whisperers trying to justify that. That would have been interesting. I was thinking about that the other day. I mean, I sorry to go off on a tangent, but just take the original characters, put them in there right now, and how they would just think about all this. I mean, Dale would want to go talk to her.
Well, I give you 3 words: read the comic.
I know. No one didn't do it this way. Wise ass.
And what would Lori do?
Yes, I am.
She would go have sex with Shane.
Shacking up.
Yep, shack it up. Shack it up with Shane. I mean, yeah, how would Lori react to Rick being, you know, pseudo dead? I don't know. I can't think of it any other way. All right, so I think that's it for our what sauce. So let's move on to sad or aw sauce. And we got a combo from Dieta.
Dieta says, aw sauce, Negan saving Judith and dog. And her sad sauce is Carol grieving Henry's death and giving the king back his ring. Sad face or frowny face? Frowny face. I was rooting for them. I knew Carol was going to take this hard as well as King Ezekiel was, hoping their relationship was going to survive this. Frowny face, frowny face.
Yeah, I mentioned this in mine. I said, the king and queen are splitting up?
No! here we go.
Yeah. I don't want, you know, like, I know that this is a realistic thing, and I know that Angela Kang mentioned this on Talking Dead. It does happen, but I don't want to see them split up, you know, and I'm hoping that next season we'll see them get back together at some point, probably after she kills, you know. Everything
she's
could be.
Like, she's kind of like the Incredible Hulk. Yeah. It's like, you don't want to know. I mean, it's better that they're not together right now.
Well, I think it's going to take something like that to for her to do what she needs to do. And, you know, I think if Ezekiel kind of takes it the right way, I think that the only way that she can, that they can be together again, is for her to do what she needs to do. She still got it in her. I mean, look what she did to those ex-saviors. All they did was pick on Henry. Look what they did to her.
They just moved on, right?
Just moved on. Yeah, it wasn't them. Wasn't them. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, we should dare Angela to really send some feedback to us and tell us what she thinks.
Yeah, we love that. All right. Let's move on to our sad sauce. So, Mark, what do you have?
Well, I was sad to see that Lydia and Carol encounter Carol seeing herself from long ago within Lydia. Lydia being the abused one and Carol realizing that Lydia is a mirror of what she used to be, which I brought up before. In the comic so long ago, Carol did this to herself with the zombie because she pleaded to Rick and to Lori to have a threesome, to be more of a family since she was so alone. Then denied and decided to take it upon herself to get bit. I think Carol needs the time to rethink her role in life, which leads her to stay away from King Ezekiel, but also to take on Lydia as a new daughter. I think that she's going to take this upon herself to raise this child in some way. I have a funny feeling. But those are my thoughts on the situation. Then, of course, the breaking up of King Ezekiel and Carol. I don't want that story to end. Yeah. I really want to see them prosper.
I totally agree with you on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Alex, what do you have?
I got a bunch of sad stuff. this was a hard episode for me. First off, all the stuff that you said, Mark, but the conversation between Ezekiel and Michonne at the sanctuary. What a important conversation.
Yeah.
They're trying to justify where they are. And we've all been there where you're in a place that you don't want to be. And you don't know how you got there. But I have to say, they helped each other. Because Michonne said, if it wasn't for me, we wouldn't be in this mess. They answered the question of how the Whisperers got in. The reason they got in is because we didn't know each other.
Yeah.
And she used that woman. If that woman was, I wrote it down, that woman was able to walk among us because we didn't know each other. Her fire, her fire has been lit again. And the reason, you know, that they're ready to go. I don't think that the Oceanside got the message because we haven't seen them all season, but that's a whole nother issue. One of the other sad sauces that I had was when they did get to Hilltop, I don't know if you noticed on the walls, all the paintings were changed and they were all pictures of everybody that lived there. And they were very abstract. I saw one of Henry it just really was a tearjerker. One of the things that I thought was really an awe/sad was I believe that the episode was bookended with Ezekiel, meaning when he was talking on the radio, that was when he was talking to Judith at the end.
Right.
And, and that conversation was just, it was just so sad because of now knowing about the whole breakup, which we talked about, I'm just looking through my stuff here, but
all right. So you think that the conversation that when he's on the radio, that was actually at the start, I'm talking about in the cold open, that was actually the same conversation at the end?
I believe so. I mean, I really believe it is because if you look at the radio, there was no other time.
Mm.
If you look at the radio, it's the same radio.
Yeah, it was definitely the same radio.
And it makes sense. He was kind of recapping it to Judith, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you might have something there.
You know, but I just think that Judith is such an interesting character. We try to treat her like a kid, but she's an adult in certain ways. So it fits in my head.
All right. Is that it?
Yeah, that's
all right.
Yeah,
that's it.
All right, so let's move on to Simon and Rick saying,
"We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen."
All right, it's our feedback section, the things that don't fit in the sauces. So we've got some feedback from our friend Steve.
Hello, Walking Dead cast. This is Steve, and have my thoughts on episode The Storm, season finale for season 9. I give this rating 9 out of 10. Lots of questions. My awesome sauce is Judith and Negan scenes. As much as I hate Negan, I love that whole the snow chase scene to go get Dog. It was just wonderful to see that and see their interaction. I love the way it was shot and just beautiful. The weak sauce is just the fact that Negan is back to his old self. I don't like this guy. I don't like the arrogant Negan. I don't need to see any more of him. I do have some wet sauce, and it's a little long, so I'll try to make it as succinct as possible. It took multiple viewings for me to realize that there must have been some time passed between these last two episodes. So my what question is, what was Daryl thinking taking Lydia with him? It seems that he'd gone back to Alexandria since Dog is there, but presumably with Lydia. And then he left Alexandria to go help the kingdom move to Hilltop. That's what Judith tells us. So why take Lydia back with him when he left Alexandria? What? It just didn't make sense. Why take her in such close proximity to the Whisperers and to two communities that already dislike her? Why couldn't she have just stayed in Alexandria? I mean, I know that we would not have had all the drama that we got. So I understand from a storytelling point of view, but it just doesn't make sense to me in a logic point of view. And final thought is, apparently the Whisperers are nomadic and they're leaving that area, or they left that area for a warmer climate. And they had to establish their border to make sure that no other community tried to move into their land, or the land they see as theirs. So can't wait for next season. I know there's going to somehow be a war breakout, and it's going to be great to see what happens. I'm excited. Talk to you later.
Oh, thank you so much, Steve. And before I forget, it's time for the Showcase Award. Well, thank you so much, Steve, for your voicemail. And thank you for subbing in and guesting on our podcast in general for your contributions this season. All right. So I jotted down a couple of points while I was listening to this. You made the point about Lydia, I think, is very effective. And I think this is one of those things that's, again, them doing certain things for the plot, and instead of doing things in character to advance the story. And I think bringing Lydia makes no sense, because they were in Alexandria. It's clear that Lydia and Negan, Freudian slip there. Daryl and Lydia were in Alexandria because Dog is in Alexandria. So why take Lydia and not take Dog? It seems like Dog would have been a very good thing to have in this situation. And it makes no sense why he would just leave her there, or leave him there, whatever, leave it there. We don't know about Dog. What is Dog? But the only reasons that I can see is plot, you know?
Yeah.
Plus he didn't have Brandy to put around his neck.
or ears.
Yep. Yeah. No grog. And I take exception to what you said. Was Negan actually back to his old self? Wisecracking self, maybe, but he's certainly not the old Negan. I mean, he's a wise ass, but he's certainly not that, you know, that leaning, you know, I think he's a humbled Negan, who, and I think Judith, there was a point that was made, I think, in the inside the episode. If you haven't seen that video, you should, where he talks about Judith, and he says that Judith is his Lucille now. Like, he's the thing that centers him. She's the thing that centers him. Where, you know, before it was a stupid bat named after his deceased wife. So I think that he has grown so much from her. And, you know, clearly I think that he would be lost at this point if it wasn't for her. So, yeah.
I agree. He has some special feeling towards the Grimes kids. I mean, he had a line when he finally saved Judith. You're just doing this to get some extra Negan time.
Yeah.
I mean, even he understands that, you know, he's got that bond and he'll do, I mean, it's kind of crazy, but he will do anything for that child.
Well, if you think about it, you know, like, she's the thing that I think has made it so he hasn't gone completely crazy. I mean, at the start of the season, well, I guess it was either the episode before or the episode of Rick's death. I guess it was the episode of Rick's death, was it? Where
alleged death.
Okay.
Disappearance.
Yeah. Pseudo, as I called it before, pseudo death, where Negan was clearly losing it. You know, he was just a shell of his former self, completely broken. You know, we see that with that episode where he has that confrontation with
Maggie.
Well, that both the confrontation with Michonne and the confrontation with Maggie, you know, he's clearly at his end. And I think that when he was at his lowest, it was the young Judith that kind of brought him from the abyss and gave him heart. And, you know, it's like I say, you know, as crazy as it seems at this point, I don't think that Negan is, you know, 100% a bad guy. I think that he did bad things and he certainly, you know, took a bad bravado, but I think I said it last week. There's not everything is bad about him. He's not 100% evil. He can be, but I think if anything, I think he's learned over the years the wrongness of his ways. And
him and Carol have a similar arc in this sense. You know, Carol goes off the reservation. She blows up Terminus.
Yeah.
You know, Negan did what he did, which was unbelievably crazy, but they need a Negan to deal with this problem. And
yeah. The thing with Carol, though, is with her thought was within logic of what was going on in that scenario during the prison when she burned those two people.
Yeah.
She did those things when she went to Terminus because she wanted to defend everybody.
Right.
Negan was doing those things just to get things going and realize leadership was needed because people were weak in his mind.
Yeah.
And he was trying to create a society in his own way that would work for him and for everybody, but mostly for him because his ego got the best of him.
Yeah.
So a lot of people don't like Negan for that particular reason. Now, mind you, in the comic books, and people could skip ahead at this point a good 50 seconds, but Negan in the comic books at this point was literally when he was in the prison and he left and he went out there and encountered all this and everything else. He had the encounter with Maggie and she basically, you know, he was begging for his life just like he was in the prison. So in the show, we got the begging. But the thing is, I think the show is going to go in a route where he doesn't need Lucille anymore, even if they bring it back to him. So I have a funny feeling the show is going to go in an arc where Negan becomes almost like an ally, which is probably going to hurt a lot of people in the long run, like a lot of fans.
Now, did they ever in the comic talk about Negan's backstory at all?
Yes, there is a book called Here is Negan, and it was done through a weekly magazine, and they combined it all into one book. And you could see from the very beginning of when everything happened and where he became and started up the Sanctuary, and that's it.
And that's something that I think a lot of people, myself included, would like to see that in one of these TV movies that they're going to do.
Same here.
Yeah, I think it would be a perfect, I think that, like that, the rise of the governor, those kind of things, I think would be perfect for this TV movie or miniseries kind of thing that they're planning. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So everybody could listen again.
Oh, thank God. I was holding my breath.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you have to say about Steve's feedback?
He always does a good job. It's always fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to love Steve. Not because he's my podcast co-host, but, you know, he comes up with great stuff.
He does. Yeah. And all right. Let's move on to Dieta. Mark, you want to take this one?
Well, Dieta says, this episode wasn't what I expected for the season finale. I was expecting a full-fledged war on the Whisperers, especially after the story Sadiq told, that he thought the communities were going to band together and end the Whisperers. Hope they don't plan on dragging this out like they did the Negan story. Speaking of the Whisperers, I was eager to see how they survived the winter since they supposedly live off the land and walk with the dead, only to find out they go south for the winter. And got little snow emojis, female emojis, snow emojis.
And shrugging.
Or is that? Oh, shrugging emojis. Female emojis, shrugging emojis, female emojis. And she continues on saying, just saying, so you're to believe they migrated south on foot to warmer weather and then are going to come back just to claim some land in a forest? I call bull.
Bull! Shit!
Like he said.
You're a bad millennial.
The blizzard should have gave them hypothermia, hypothermia emojis, and killed them all. And shrug him emoji, female emoji, shrug emoji, female emoji. Putting an end to the Whisperers. Death by Mother Nature. Negan and his jokes. Falling down laughing emojis 3 times. Still waiting to see if he's actually going to become one of the group. I actually like the relationship between him and Judith. Which, same here, I do. I do agree with that. Who is the voice on the radio? Maggie? Rick? Morgan? Jadis? And a helicopter crew? Shrugging emoji, female emoji, shrugging emoji, and female emoji. I'm thinking it sounded like Maggie, and I do agree. Will she grace us with her presence? I do hope so. Dieta, I feel the same way. I want that. Overall, decent episode. Not quite the season finale I expected, but they did give us a cliffhanger and a cool snowball fight. And it looks like a lot of snowball and snow emojis and a big happy face. The snow reminded me of Michigan winters. And I think of Minnesota winters because I was there in the beginning at one point, and that was terrible.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, I mean, look-wise, yes, but, you know, leaves on the trees, no. That just, the leaves would fall before, like, pretty much at the first sign of cold, the leaves start to fall. And I don't think I've ever seen snow fall when the leaves are still on the trees. I don't think I've ever seen it.
We have in Jersey.
Oh, really?
We have. Okay. Yeah, we had an October snowstorm.
Yep. I was just about to say that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it was terrible.
It was, because the problem was, it did stick to the the leaves.
It was
a mess.
Yeah.
I could understand.
It took me 6 hours to get home from New Jersey.
Well, all right. Were the leaves green?
Yes.
Some.
How's that possible?
Dude, it was crazy. I came from a convention that day, and it was terrible.
Well, I will take that under advisement that I guess it is possible for leaves to still be on the trees, but it was cold before it started to snow. So,
and they actually did show snow falling down before it actually really did fall down towards the end of the episode. True. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah. Anyway, I still think that I had issues with the leaves still on the trees, but
same here.
It's possible, but you know, highly unlikely.
Yeah.
All right. Glynis is next. She says the callback to the bicycle walker with that torso walker. Huh, I hadn't thought of that before, but that's a good call there. The radio theme continues in TWD, first with Glenn's classic line to Rick in the tank radio, Rick's distorted message that Amy and Shane didn't quite catch, then with Rick and Morgan also in season one, Terminus in season four with the Sanctuary for All, Those Who Arrive Survive, which teased the Sanctuary but ended up being a group of cannibals. Okay, that's old news, but Rick on the radio in season 5, episode 9 with Tyrese's hallucinations. Eugene whimpering help into the radio in season 6 to Daryl. Abraham and Sasha, Rick and Glenn's comms in season 6 when trying to make their way back to Alexandria. The comms in season 8 with Negan, Rick, Michonne during the Savior War. And now we arrive at season 9 and it's 10 with a query from the radio. Is there anybody out there? Cue Pink Floyd. Hello, hello, hello. Is there anybody out there? Anyway.
Out there.
Is it Maggie or someone else? Is it following the comic? And is it good or bad?
It's Scott M. Gimple.
No, it's a combination of everything. I'll say it flat out.
Should we talk about this now or
we'll talk about
should
it
we
later.
Wait? Okay. Negan looks as if he's earning some gold stars and nearing redemption with saving both Judith and Dog. Carol got to see Lydia is also just an emotionally and physically abused girl and probably saw herself in Lydia's emotional distress and thinking she's worthless. That's a good point. All in all, Glynis, I mean, your feedback has been great when we've, you know, when you've been able to contribute it, I think most weeks. So I will give you certainly that. And just overall, I'll give you a little quick, just for overall contributions to the podcast this season. Thank you so much, Glynis.
Yeah, and we should give her another one of those showcase awards because she mentioned my friend Melissa Cowan, who actually played Bicycle Girl. And Melissa would love this. I hope she's listening.
All right, so we got one more bit of feedback. Actually, this came in very late, just before we started recording, and that came through the feedback form at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. This is from Gary. Alex, you want to read this one?
You got it. Hey, everyone. Just a few questions. At the end of the show, when the radio started crackling and you were expecting to hear a voice, I wonder how many listeners hoping so bad that it would have been Rick's voice. It would have been so neat to hear Rick's voice explaining what happened to him and saying something like, I'm not sure of my location or when I'm getting away from this place. I'm trying to find my way back home, but at least I know that I'm very much alive. I wonder if the movies they have planned allow Rick to at least let everyone know that he's still alive. If no way to getting back anytime soon. Thanks, Gary.
Well, Gary, I don't have to ask a question, although you just did. I will give you an answer because it's me. I know if they had done that, my rating probably wouldn't have went up to a 9. That would have done it for me. You know, I'm of course a sucker for Rick Grimes, and you know, I've said it many times on this podcast, even recently, that he was the one that drew me to this show. And if they had teased with Rick coming on, that would have just, I would have a much different impression of the season finale. Instead, it's possibly Maggie, possibly somebody else. I wondered if maybe it was Alicia from Fear or something like that as another option, but we don't know. It could be someone else completely different. And I don't know. It could be Jadis, although I really don't want it to be Jadis. It could be Maggie. It could be somebody else. I don't know. But yeah, if it had been Rick, I would have absolutely loved it. And unfortunately, it's just some person that I can't care about because I don't know who it is. And it's not who I'd hope for. So what do you guys think?
I think that it's going to be the big question for next season. They'll probably either draw it out. I know we've got the colony or the Chicago group, whatever that is.
Commonwealth?
The Commonwealth. That's possibly someone like that. But I hope it's nobody new.
Yeah.
That we have to deal with. You know, hopefully it's going to tie some loose ends.
Yeah.
Whether it
even if it had been Georgie, that would have been, you know, someone that we had come in contact with. Yeah, I really don't really want it to be someone new. I mean, like I said, it could be someone from Fear. That would be cool. You know, another crossover coming or something like that. That would be cool. But
nobody comes east. They only go west.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we've got, Mark, do you have anything before I segue to that? Do you have anything you want to say about that?
Well, to continue on what I was saying earlier, that radio broadcast, and this links to the comic book. So those of you who don't want to know anything that's in the comics, please skip ahead at least a good minute and a half, maybe. So basically, in the comic book, there is a scene where Eugene is the one that's on the radio and reaching out. They enhance their broadcast and were able to get, and he happens upon a voice and he brings up a dialogue with that person, but keeps it to himself. So in the show, we only hear that voice just calling out, saying, after hearing Ezekiel and Judith's broadcast. Now, mind you, in the show, they could easily say, oh, it's Maggie, or it's Jadis, because obviously it was a female voice. Or it could definitely be Georgie.
Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing that we get out of that. It was a female's voice. It wasn't a male voice.
So,
or if it was a male voice, it was a kid's voice that hasn't, you know, some progressed boy who hasn't gotten to through puberty or something.
Yeah. So so basically in the comic book, it led to another group that is in Ohio.
Right.
And, they have a group that ventures out that way because, you know, Eugene spills the beans and then they send a group out that way. And they make a plucky person on along the way and they incorporate her in and they meet the community. So if they actually do this in a show, it'd be interesting, but I have a funny feeling that this might be something that's related more towards Maggie and what's going on with her, because
okay,
we haven't really seen much of Maggie, and there's all this talk about, Lauren Cohan coming back and possibly doing season 10. So I wouldn't be surprised if the community that she's in, who knows what it's called, is incorporated next season, but we don't see the true quote unquote community until later on.
Yeah. Well, it's worth noting that, you know, we did not see Georgie at all this season. And I'm kind of surprised about that. I thought that we would see them this season, and instead they just skipped all over that. Maybe we would have seen them had the negotiations with Lauren Cohan not, you know, gone the way that they did. I don't know.
Good point. No, I mean, my biggest theory on this is that the Whisperers had left something in Disney and they were trying to contact them to get back. And they dropped something. It was either a piece of clothing, maybe a Fast Pass bracelet. It must have been something.
Or maybe it was Disney's frozen head, because, you know,
it could have been. You know. It could have been. Yeah. But the bottom line is they just, you know, or they got their reservation at the 21 Club and they finally got in. But, you know, who knows? I mean, it's so up in the air. And with Angela driving this train right now, it's only good things.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just hope they change a little bit of the format so they don't go through that Game of Thrones thing again.
Well, I mean, the one thing I would say is that we have seen this. So if they do this again to us next season, we'll kind of, you know, fool me once, you know, shame on me, fool me twice, shame on you kind of thing. So if they do this to us again next season, we should not be so surprised this time.
Yeah.
You know, because we've seen them do this with Angela Kang running the show. So, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. It's like, if I had expected this, I wouldn't have reacted as strongly as I did. But it's also worth saying that there were still some big There have been some big episodes on Game of Thrones that were the season finale. The one I'm thinking more specifically is, I can't remember the name of it, but the one in season 6. And, you know, I'm sure there's people on that are listening that haven't watched Game of Thrones, so I'm not going to get into details with it. But there was a big episode in season 6 at the second to last episode, but there was still a big episode at the end of season 6. So, and that's not the only time that they did that. So anyway, my point being is I still think it should have been a bigger episode than this. This was the only thing big was the snow. And the only reason it was big is because you guys think it was big because you hadn't done it for 9 seasons and you did snow in Atlanta. Well, good for you. Yeah, but those of us that have been dealing with snow all our lives, we are not impressed. I should say, some of us are. Some of us thought it was great. Mark and I, at least, weren't two of those people.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, snow is snow. Like you said before in the podcast, even bad Walking Dead is still better than no Walking Dead.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this show hasn't turned into Falling Skies for me. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I use that example as a show that by the end I was hate watching. And thankfully I wasn't podcasting on it, but it just, like, the first 3 seasons of it were really good. And yeah, I was just holding on to the end of season 5 because I wanted to see it to the end, but it really stunk by the end. And, you know, Walking Dead is not at that point. I think we're going to get into some overall season stuff in a second here, but before we get into that, I'll throw it to you, Mark. What other notes do you have for this, season finale?
Well, the show is, like I said before, is going on a different path from the comic. In the comic, the kingdom did not fall. This was set up for the show to merge a few of the communities together in one which I understand. The snow in the show was a bit way too late for me. This was something I complained about back in season 3. That's how far back it was back in the comic books, because we saw it early on. I just accepted the snow as it was for the past six seasons without a snow scene, because I knew about the location, shooting, and budget. But it was a nice attempt, but lacking in the sense we can see it, that, you know, it was to created fear. And did an okay job with the tornado last season with the Zednado and Fear of the Walking Dead. So I see the comparison between the both, with the exception of a few scenes, which, you know, we talked about last year. You know, with this one, it looked a little bit papery. With last year, you know, you saw one Zed flying and one was still stable. You brought that up.
Yeah. How could I not? That really took me out of the episode dead, and some of the stuff that we saw here took me out of the episode. And I think, I mean, if I was gauging that versus this, I think this was a better attempt, because at least for most of it, it looked like snow. It just, the places where it didn't look like snow, where there wasn't enough snow, especially, you know, that's where it kind of lost me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
What else you got to say?
That was it. I already spoke about everything before. Yeah. So okay. Nobody wants any more comic book spoilers.
Yeah. I wonder if they closed the kingdom because of budget. So,
and that was a different studio. That was, yes, Tyler Perry's studio too. So
right,
they probably only had that for so long. So they, yeah, probably ended that and merged those because, hey, we could just combine them all and just work it out that way. And then,
yeah,
have everything between X amount of communities within the show itself that we own,
yeah,
within our own studios.
Yeah, you could be right. It could have just been budget and for them, or sorry, availability. You could have said, you know, oh, well, you got it, you know, 7, 8, and 9, and that's it. And after that, it's not available anymore because they're shooting Avengers Part 62 here, you know, for all we know. So, yeah, that's the point. Alex, I really don't have any more to say about this episode, but I will have some stuff to say in a minute. Do you have anything else you want to say about this episode?
No, the only thing is it was nice that they, in a way, they touched on every character.
Yeah,
that was important. And whether you thought it was closure or not, you know, RJ's alive. He is a person. Yeah. The important, yeah, questions point, that go on. But that being said, you know, they made sure that all the characters were represented. Sometimes they have a habit of just, you know, forgetting people.
Yeah.
And they put them in harm's way, but nobody died, which is always a good and a bad thing.
Not this week.
Exactly. ...
Yeah. Yeah. I think it would have been kind of a little much if they had killed off somebody else this episode, you know?
Right.
I don't think they needed to do that. Okay. So this is a good point. Before we get into ratings, and I really don't have any news other than the ratings, let's talk a little bit about just the season in general. I'll throw it to you, Alex. What'd you think overall? Anything kind of stand out that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I love the season. It's one of my top three in terms of just the way it, the pace, and the way it was laid out. I think there was a really good theme of what would you do for love, in the sense that everybody was faced with that challenge, meaning whether it's Carol and the King, whether it was Daryl and I can't think of her name. The
Connie?
The girl. Yes, thanks. Couldn't think of her name. Connie. And whether it was Michonne and Judith. So there was a lot of that. And bringing the whispers in added a whole new level of fear that we haven't had in a long time. And the fact is, Angela Kang has put life in something that was dead. And yeah, with using the pun, exactly that. I think that's one of the things that I came to realize. One of the other things that I wrote in my notes is, you know, Michonne's isolation caused most of these problems.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody was going behind her back. Aaron was training with Jesus. You know, the everybody was kind of walking around that whole thing, and it was all because of her friend. Now, that particular episode, Scars, I think should have, it's another thing where I think they could have made that a 2-episode or gone to it and then followed up with Scars, you know, kind of in the beginning where they're kind of friends and whatever else, and then and had another kind of pop of, oh my gosh, this happened. But that's where I think Angela, if there is a misstep besides the snow, as we talked about, why didn't everybody show up? But other than that, I mean, I give the season a 10 out of 10. I mean, there was a couple of missteps. If you want to call the snow a huge problem, I just love the fact that, you know, there was a better pace to it this year. And at the end of the day, there's two people you don't want to be. You don't want to be the moral compass. And now you don't want to be the leader of Hilltop. And you especially do not want to be a medical staff.
Yeah.
And as an EMT, that really scares me in this apocalypse. So other than, yeah, I mean, that's what most of my thoughts. What about you guys?
Mark, I'll throw it to you.
I'm at a loss. I can't. Sorry, my mind is a little bit foggy tonight because of the cold.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for throwing me under the bus there.
Sorry.
Back to you. Yeah. Brian.
Back to me. All right. So let's move on to news, ratings, and info. Shane, what do you say?
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
As I mentioned, we just have ratings. I don't really have anything beyond this, but I will at least say that ratings are up. And I'm happy about that. So The Walking Dead, Season 9, Episode 16, got a 1.86 in the 18 to 49 with 5.019 million viewers. And Mark, we didn't get to talk about this last week, but ratings last week were... lowest ever. And of course, I think it's because of what AMC did with the DVR. And that is, of course,
there's a conspiracy out there. You hear what I'm saying? There's a conspiracy. A conspiracy.
I still think that's what happened. Anyway, last week it got a 1.48 in the 1849 with 4.152 million viewers. So that's up quite a bit. I mean, that's almost 20%, I think. I don't have to do the math, but clearly it's a fair bit there. Almost 3 points and or almost 4 points actually, and almost 0.4 points and almost a million viewers up. So Talking Dead, although didn't do as well, at least in the 18 to 49 demographic. It got a 0.29 in the 18 to 49, but it was up in viewers. It got a 1.027 million, and that is versus last week's 0.33 and 1.010 million. So that's it. And you can see on the Facebook group, I post those ratings. Alex, in case you didn't know this, but I have been, those are handcrafted by me, and I've been keeping track of the ratings ever since we started. So
Yeah.
All those graphs are handcrafted by yours truly.
Awesome.
And Google spreadsheets. Yeah.
Aren't they wonderful?
They are wonderful. The only other thing that I guess could mention in news is that Fear the Walking Dead returns June 2nd. So we did not know this last week. We knew it was coming back in June, but it's coming back June 2nd. And at WonderCon, there was a panel. I haven't seen the panel yet. I don't know what was said there, but there was a trailer. And have you guys had a chance to watch the trailer?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And what'd you guys think?
I loved it. It got me pumped for the new season.
What about you, Alex?
I'm all in. I think hopefully they can resolve the main character issue problems.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a great season. I'm looking forward to it.
I have to say, and this is why I can say that, yes, I will be back for Fear Season 5. That trailer got me in the feels. It got me crying. And it wasn't crying because I was sad. It was crying because I was affected by the fact it was so good, you know, and to me, The Walking Dead itself hasn't done that much to me in recent seasons. I mean, it used to happen all the time where an episode would be so good and I'd start crying out of like, oh my God, it's so good. And that's how the trailer affected me for Fear. So I'm like, okay. Well, it's still doing it for me, so I will be back. And I'm not going to spoil it for you if you haven't seen it yourself. Just, it's on YouTube. It's on the AMC app. It's, you know, you can even see it on Facebook. Just go watch it, and you will see some familiar faces and some not-so-familiar faces, but some cool stuff and some... Really, a really well-made trailer, in my opinion. All right, so that's it. Mark, why don't you tell people how to contact us?
Well, we want to encourage you all to follow us on Twitter, at WalkingDeadGSM. Feedback, well, you could submit your theories and feedback. Most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group. That would be facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. We'd like to encourage you to use our email address, which is walkingdeadgsm@gmail.com. The feedback form at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback is now functioning again. So you can send text or audio there. You could find our SpeakPipe widget or call 304-837-2278. That's how Steve gets we get our lovely voicemails from Steve, which is awesome. Yep. Every week.
Every week.
Every week. Yeah.
And the best way you can support us is to subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts, goldenspiralmedia.com/Apple. While you're there, give us a rating or a review. We would love that. That would be awesome. To find out all the other ways to support Golden Spiral Media, just go to goldenspiralmedia.com/support. And where else can we be listened to, Brian?
Well, if you... best way to listen to us is, of course, to subscribe to us so that you get the episodes when they come out. If you are watching us, you can't watch us.
Well, you can if you really want to. Eventually, we could do a YouTube.
We thought about it. The best way you can support us in the podcast client of choice is to subscribe. That way you'll get the episodes when they come out. If you use Apple Podcasts, you can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/Apple. And while you're there, give us a rating or review. In fact, if you use any other podcast client that allows you to rate us or review us, please give us a review if you could, or rate. I know like Stitcher, Podcast Republic, those are a couple of apps that allow you to do it. Please give us a rating or review. That would be great. Other ways you can support the network are at goldenspiralmedia.com/support. And probably by the time we come back, there'll be some news as far as the network is concerned. So watch for it on the Facebook group. And, you know, maybe we may have a little bonus episode or something like that to let you know about things going on. I don't know. I may just take that out. But there are things going on with the network, and we'll let you know what they are as we find out. The Star Trek Discovery podcast, as you all know, has been going along, and we've got at this point time of recording, there's 3 episodes left, and it's just been going great. So you can listen to Ruthie and I at StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com, or just go to Golden Spiral Media and you'll find us there, GoldenSpiralMedia.com. And I would like to encourage you to join our Facebook group. That's at facebook.com/group/StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.
Well, if you want to listen to Steve Brown and I, we're on the Next Level Radio Podcast Network. It's called Panels to Pixels. Right now, we're in the middle of doing, or towards the end, actually, of Punisher Season 2. This week, we're taking a break. We're actually going to have a little segue of an episode with myself just talking about Spider-Man 1977 in comparison to all the other Spider-Man movies and shows that are out there from 77 till current. So you're going to hear just my voice, unfortunately. Yeah, I'm going solo on this.
Oh, wow, solo.
Everybody could get to listen to me and rave on and listen to this nasally voice because I still have a cold. But I will be going on and on about Spider-Man because I love Spider-Man, and I'm still wanting and to see Endgame and then happening to see Far From Home. I will be going on and on and on about Spider-Man. So most of you will probably have to listen to me in about 30 to 45 minutes at most, but bear with me.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode. And our next episode will be actually as Fear the Walking Dead talk through, most likely anyway. That will be covering Season 5, Episode 1, which we don't know what the name of it is, the title. We don't know the title. We don't know who's written it or directed it or what the description is. So, yeah, that's it. And at some point, the Walking Dead talk through will get through to episode 100.
I'm sure we will. Yeah,
we'll probably do a couple of episodes in between. So, until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Mark.
And I'm Alex.
And this is the Walking Dead talk through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Have a good night.